Good morning and greetings to everyone in Jesus' name. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I just pray and hope that we can receive a blessing from the Lord today. Why don't we all kneel for prayer?
Thank you, Jesus. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father in heaven, we just ask that you would work in our lives again today. Pray that we could hear from heaven, hear from your word. God, we just pray that you would make us unashamed of your gospel. Oh, Lord, sometimes I feel ashamed of you, Lord. I pray you'd make me unashamed, make us unashamed of you. Lord, I pray that we could be ready for the day when we will give an account before you of our lives. Help us to realize this every day of our lives, Father in heaven. We pray that you would bless this congregation, bless your people, Lord, that we could move forward in the right direction, that we could be fed from your word. We could think about you more than about ourselves. We just need your help today, Lord, because of ourselves we can do nothing. Our vine is worthless unless your life is running through us. We can't have the courage to speak about you unless you, your life is in us. Please give us strength, Lord. Give us courage to stand up for you in this wicked and adulterous generation. People that glory in wickedness. Help us to have the strength to be your servants, Lord. Oh God, we need your help. We just pray that you would open your word up to us now. Commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can open your Bibles to Galatians or to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 has my key verse that we want to talk about today. A little bit later here, I'll write some stuff on the board. It says, Ephesians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Praise God. We could preach a dozen messages just out of that. But in verse 3, there's a couple key words that we'll be discovering here as we go on. Try to keep your attention. What I want to talk about today is last week I was in the shop praying what I should share on today, and all of a sudden I was bending some sticks or something, and all of a sudden this picture just came into my mind of an old, aged father and two sons. The one of them received the blessing and the other one didn't. And it just struck me, you know, which one of those is me? So what I want to talk about today is the blessing of God. I'm sure all of us desire that. And there's a few points we're going to try to touch. I'll write them down as we get to them. I don't know what the first thing you think of when you think of the blessing of God. There are some people that think blessing of God equals a large bank account. Some maybe think it's when everything goes well and nothing goes wrong. There's a prayer that I heard one preacher say. Some people pray three prayer requests. Dear God, help nothing to go, bless all I do, help nothing to go wrong, and help me to grow in Christ. Now he said the first two are could be fairly selfish prayer requests. But God sees that third one, and he says, you know, I really want him to grow in Christ, but I know if I always answer one and two, number three probably won't happen. So, anyway, how about the blessing of being free from sin? Remember, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Free from sin, washed in the blood, cleansed and made pure, having a robe of Christ's righteousness. A free heart. Smile on your face, looking forward to heaven forevermore. How about the blessing of your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the blessing of salvation, the armor of God, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, come to teach us all things. Amen, we're loaded. How about physical blessings God freely gives to us on earth? Air to breathe, water to drink, trees and vegetation to clean the air, and the earth to filter the water in our wells and springs. Food to eat, healthy minds and bodies, church, family, friends, relatives, and neighbors. The list could go on and on. You ever take time to thank God for that? You know, we'd be all in big trouble if God would write out bills for all of our things we need to survive, you know, like water and air. Okay, I already told you where this message got started. And I'll keep you guessing who these individuals are. I'm sure most of you can guess already. We have an aged father, approximately 123 years old, and two sons in their 60s. That's, of course, according to some history I read. A few questions. How much do you value the blessing of God on your life? If you just take time to think about it. At what price would you be willing to give up the blessing of God? What do you value most, more money or the blessing of God? What is your focus? What can I get out of God, or what can God get out of me? How can I serve him the best? What price am I willing to pay to obtain, maintain, and retain the blessing of God on my life? I'll read that question again, which these are a couple of our points we're going to look at. What price am I willing to pay to obtain, maintain, and retain the blessing of God on my life? It's costly. It's not free. It costs you everything. If there was an auction where they sold the blessing of God, what would your high bid be? Okay. We're going to get started with our story, I'm sure you've guessed who it is by now. Let's turn back to Genesis 27. Now, we start in the story. It says that Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. And he thinks he's almost ready to die, but he ends up living almost 60 more years, 50 some more years. So that's a little interesting to us. But he did reach age 180. Okay. Starting out, we're going to read the first 30 verses, and then we're going to stop and preach the message, and then we'll end up later on. Okay, Genesis 27, verse 1, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Isaac his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. If you remember when they were born, Esau came out all hairy, all over like a, or all red hair, like, excuse me, red all over like a hairy garment. That's a pretty interesting thing. So Jacob was concerned that he wouldn't feel as hairy as Esau. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loveth. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn, the first lie. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Second lie. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Jacob got the blessing. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Another lie. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He just barely made it. Wow, quite a story. The reason I read that is I want us to get in our minds and hearts the whole scenario here that was happening. The first thing we're going to talk about is the blessing of God. What is it? Second point is how to obtain it. Third point, how to maintain it. Third point, our fourth point, how to retain it. And fifth point is how someone can lose it. So what I mean by maybe point three and four could almost seem the same, but what I'm wanting to get at is how do you keep God's blessing alive in your life? How do you maintain it? You keep it, you know, working in your life, and retain is how do you keep from losing it? Okay, let's look at the word blessing a little bit. Looked in a few different dictionaries and Bible helps. The word blessing means benediction, a wish of happiness pronounced, a prayer imploring happiness upon another. Any means of happiness, a gift, benefit, or advantage, that which promotes temporal prosperity and welfare or secures immortal happiness or felicity. A just and pious magistrate is a public blessing. The divine favor is the greatest blessing. I'll say that again. The divine favor, or the blessing of God, is the greatest blessing. Any advantages conferred or wished for, especially favors. This is, there's in the one Bible dictionary, it had three different points here. Number one is favors, advantages given by God and bringing pleasure or happiness in their train. And we have there Genesis 39. I'll read a couple verses here. It says about Joseph. And Joseph was a prosperous man. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. So we can see there how God used Joseph as a channel to bless someone else, because Joseph was under that blessing of God. Second point, or another under this point, Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee, in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he hath no sorrow with it. Second point is the invocation of God's favor upon a person. And that is here in Genesis where we are reading. We just got done reading that point there about that Jacob was wanting to get a blessing, not a curse. Point three under this definition I'm reading. A present, a token of goodwill. Jacob giving the gift, the blessing to Esau, and so forth. So hopefully that can give you a little idea of what this word means. It's basically a blessing that one person bestows upon another. And we're talking about the blessing of God. So it's that which we desire from God that He freely gives to those who are in that, we could say, under the glory spout. Amen. How can we stay under that glory spout? Under that place where God will bless us. The best place on earth to be. Okay. Point number two, how to obtain God's blessing. As we talk about this, I'm sure there are 20 points we could touch on this, but there are just a few points that I've picked out to touch on that seem to stand out to me. Number one, or A, is honor your father and mother. How to obtain God's blessing. If you want to, let's turn over to Ephesians 6. This, as the older I get, it seems like this rings true in my heart as I notice and watch other young people grow up, and as I notice and observe the lives of young people I grew up with and choices that they've made and where they're at today and all these things, it seems like this what is called the first commandment with promise has huge implications. Major. It's just a couple verses, but it really has a big effect. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And that is found in Exodus 20. It says, "Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God, thy God giveth thee." And back here, Ephesians 6:3, it mentions the same thing, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." How much do you believe that verse? Just sort of breeze over it and, well, you know, that sounds good. How much do we let that verse become a reality in our experience? God's not saying it by accident. This is a very pertinent verse, especially for our day and age, when there is so much dishonor and rebellion all over the place by the children and people, young people. And if you want God's blessing, if you want to obtain God's blessing, start at square one. Honor thy father and mother. You're going to get a blessing, I guarantee it. Number B, I thought of this other verse, Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Amen. See, "a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned." So if you're good, a lot of people say, "I'm good," you know. Jesus said, "No man's good but God." But in the sense of simply being a good neighbor, trying to be a blessing to those around you, I think this could apply for that. There's a way to obtain favor of the Lord. D, obtaining the blessing through faith and patience. Let's turn to Hebrews. We're still talking about our point number two, how to obtain God's blessing. Hebrews 6. If you're wanting to know how to get God's blessing in your life, this could maybe be a help to you, hopefully. Hebrews 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We live in a day of McDonald's, fast food restaurants, quick prayer, 5-minute devotions, you know, those kind of things. And it does affect us, you know. God, I want a blessing quick. You know, I want just quick bless me, you know, help everything go right, nothing wrong, you know. How about this? After he had patiently endured years, took years. Here's a little quote I found. It says, patience is the ability to keep your motor idling when you feel like stripping the gears. You ever feel that pressure? It's like, God, just do something. We got to get moving here. And you just feel that steam pressure in there just wanting to blow you up. Patience is the ability to stay calm when you feel like just flying off the handle. Obtaining God's blessing is not default mode. You know, with computers, you have this default, you know. It's not default mode, not automatic. There needs to be some effort put forth, some dying to self, some trying of your faith, some exercise of patience if you're going to obtain God's blessing. As we continue to seek God's blessing and walk with Him, having faith and patience, I guarantee you, you're going to receive it. Now, I've got a little quote here from some material here. This is called Good News for You. This has to do with faith and patience when things seem to take a long time. You know, Thomas Edison, he didn't make the light bulb with the first try. And people thought he was stupid for trying to invent the light bulb. But now look above your heads. We've got all kinds of light. So sometimes life is like that. It seems like you're not going anywhere. It just seems like, what am I here for? Hope this can encourage you. Here's a man named Admiral Robert Perry. Spent 23 years in pursuit of the North Pole before he finally reached it, the 8th time. Y'all get that? Someone had enough desire to get to the North Pole, he spent 23 years of his life doing it. Winston Churchill's career was thought to be over as a public servant in the 1930s. He stayed alert and was fully prepared when the opportunity for leadership came his way at age 66. Quote, the biggest mistake people make is giving up. Adversity is an experience, not a final act. So when you have some tough times in life, it's not the end of the story yet. As Christians, we must realize God desires the best in life for us because He sees in us the image of Jesus Christ. He is molding and making each one into the image of His Son. When disappointments come and plans are destroyed, rejoice in the Lord. Greater things are in store for you in higher places. Remember, when the night has passed, the morning dawns bright and glorious. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Amen. Okay. Point number three, how to maintain God's blessing. So once we've taken the steps to get God's blessing, how do we keep that alive and well in our life? First thing I'd say is just continue to do what you did in the first place. Just continue on with the honor for your parents, the other points we talked about. Psalm 119, 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How to maintain God's blessing? Hide God's word in your heart. Be active at it. Memorize the word, because it will keep you from sin. There's a saying says, sin will keep you from God's word, or God's word will keep you from sin. Something like that. Again, I'd say something about honoring your parents. I believe this can go for all of us, no matter what age we are. This is not always easy. The real test of how much you value God's blessing is when one of your authorities says no. Doesn't sound very encouraging sometimes. No. How do I respond when that happens? Wow. Am I, you know, wishing I could get them out of the way and so I could do my thing, you know, just get rid of all these hindrances? But if we can really get a grasp on where the blessing comes from, where that shower of blessing that God is, you know, if you don't stand underneath that glory spout, you're not going to get the blessing. You've got to find where that blessing's at. If we take a look into the lives of people who had God's blessing resting on them, we will see a pattern of blessing following those who are under God's authority structure. Just take some time to think about it. Do some observation. There's a direct connection. Joseph was under his father. He went to check on his brothers. He was sold into Egypt, was under Potiphar, falsely accused, thrown into prison, served under the prison keeper, and eventually was serving as second in command under Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You can see a trail of blessings following after those who walk this way, who stay under the glory spout of God's blessing. Amen. You can also see God's blessing flowing from those people to many others around them. What a difference between someone who is not in God's blessing and has that root of bitterness, as we will talk about that individual later, Esau, and through Jacob's descendants, God was able to bless the nations of the world with Jesus, you know, and you can see Esau and his root of bitterness, and as the Bible says, it troubles many. So just as God's blessing in a person's life can spread out and bless others, so when the blessing's not there and the root of bitterness comes, it destroys many. Just the opposite. The next point I want to talk about under how to maintain it is keep a clear conscience. Apostle Paul says in Acts 24, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense before God and toward man." We're talking about maintenance. How do we maintain God's blessing? Exercise yourself to have a clear conscience. If something is bothering you, troubling you, just clear it up. Talk to somebody. I mean, if you're not sure about something, it doesn't hurt to ask. Just open your heart. It's worth all the world to keep God's blessing in your life. Next point, stay free from sin. If you want God's blessing, stay free from sin. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. How much effort do I put forth to stay free from sin? I'm asking that to myself. How much effort do I put forth to stay free from sin? Well, you know, God will just somehow help me, and I just, well, I'm not sure how it will happen, but God will just somehow deliver me from this temptation. And it takes the mind of a soldier. The song goes, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I, let me get this song so I can get the words right, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thine armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. How much effort do we put forth to stay free from sin? Oh God, help us. Okay, let's go to our next point, how to retain God's blessing. If you have God's blessing and you're maintaining it, how do I keep it? I would say just go back to the last point. We already talked about those steps. Be in your proper place in God's authority structure. Let's, Jesus, Luke, you can turn there if you want. Luke 2. I really appreciated the opening in children's class. I thought it really was a wonderful foundation for what I was planning to share. Luke 2. Jesus, he was feeling a desire to do something for his father. Coming back from Jerusalem, they couldn't find him. Verse 46, Luke 2:46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And they, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to them. Now, I want us to put a key note on the next verse. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. How did he get that favor? How did Jesus get that favor? Wasn't it directly connected with how he responded to his authorities? If you want God's blessing, this is the way to go. Praise the Lord. Clear conscience. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Clear conscience. Do we realize that God is, and we all know off the top of our head, yeah, God can see me. He knows what I'm doing. But do we really feel that inside? Every moment of the day, God is watching me. Every thought that crosses into my mind, he knows about it already. Clear conscience. How about the motives? How about those motives of my heart? Those inmost secret closets. Those private moments when I'm all by myself. What goes on in my mind and heart when no one is watching me but God? Just challenged my own life, you know. I face things what a common man does. Common person. I need this message as much as anyone. What am I, if you could put a monitor on your mind, you know, when you're all by yourself, what do your thoughts tend to go to? Are you worshiping the Lord? Is it carnal? Just something to think about. Do we get a grasp of God and his all-seeing eye? Jeremiah 23 says, verse 23 and 24, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." God fills everything. He's everywhere. There's nowhere you can escape from the all-seeing eye of God. Why don't we turn over to Psalm 139? This gives a little more of an explanation. Psalm 139, I'm going to go ahead and read part of this. Most of us probably know it pretty good. Psalm 139, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot obtain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, when in continuance were fashioned, when yet, as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." How can we grasp that God has more thoughts toward us than the sand? That is just unbelievable. What an encouragement. Wow. So, do you think most sin is committed when it's dark or when it's light? Probably in the dark. Why do people do it in the dark? They think they can hide. What did we just read here? Darkness and light are both same to God. So if we can get a grasp of this principle, no hiding to be done. There's no way you can hide. There was a man one time that was crossing a street. He's ready to go into a movie store or whatever. And looked this way and that way and behind him and walked, headed toward the store. Someone shouted out, "You forgot to look up." We can keep that in mind. I think that will help us to stay free from sin. Why am I talking about these things? Because we are faced with the world all around us every day. That is in direct rebellion and disobedience to what we just read. They freely indulge in sin, saying it's just fine. They try to get us to do it too. That's why I'm talking about this. If we want the blessing of God, we must stay free from sin. Okay, down to our last point, point number five. How can someone lose God's blessing? Now let's turn back to our story, finish up the narrative there in Genesis. I wish I could properly give a proper description of Esau and his bitter cry. Hard for us to imagine. Genesis 27, verse 31. And he, or Esau, also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father rise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This hardened man, man of the field, living in sin, lifting up his voice and weeping. Too late. Too late. Nearly 50 years earlier, Esau had made a decision in his youth to despise his birthright. From some of what I read, he was around 15 years old when he made that decision to sell his birthright. And now he's in his 60s weeping because it's too late. What a tragedy. How many people will end up with eternal tragedy when they realize they have lost the blessing of heaven for eternity? God help us. Turn over to Hebrews. We wrap up the message. Hebrews 12. Some more solemn thoughts about this story. The Hebrews writer starts out, verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for One morsel of meat sold his birthright. What are you willing to have of this world and lose God's blessing? It's not worth it. Not worth it. You will someday find it too late. May the Lord help us. There's a couple points here I found in the book of Pilgrim's Progress. These are called the steps to backsliding. I thought I was challenged in my own heart just to consider, do I find any of these points of backsliding in my own heart? Okay. Number one, the way that people backslide, they draw off their thoughts from the remembrance of God, death, and the judgment to come. They don't like thinking about it. Feels uncomfortable. So they turn their thoughts away from that. Number two, they cast off by degrees private duties as closet prayer, curbing their lusts, watching, sorrow for sin, and the like. Number three, they shun the company of lively and warm Christians. Number four, after that, they begin to grow cold to public duty as hearing, reading, fellowshipping with the godly. Number five, then they begin to pick holes, as we may say, in the coats of some of the godly, so that they may have a good reason to throw all religion to the wind. Number six, then they begin to associate themselves with carnal, loose, and wanton men. Number seven, then they give way to carnal and wanton discourses in secret, and are glad if they can see such things in any that are counted honest, that they may more boldly do it after their example. After this, they begin to play with little sins openly. Number nine, and then being hardened, they show themselves as they are, thus being launched again into the gulf of misery. Unless a miracle of grace prevented, they everlastingly perish in their own deceivings. Is there any of these points that bring conviction to your heart? I trust that none of us are down on point number nine, but how about drawing our thoughts off of God or the judgment to come? You know, it just doesn't fit very good with a carnal mind. Do I slack up on praying, staying away from lust, so forth? Do I enjoy being with lively and warm Christians, so forth? May the Lord help us with that. I feel like I had to turn my heart toward the Lord more. I was convicted by some of these points. One more thing I want to read before we close. This is titled Lost Blessings. He whispered, "That song, you must sing it." But I said, "O Master, I cannot. They'd laugh if I try." He urged, but I halted till presently one sang the song he asked me for, while my lips were dumb. He had called me, I failed him, I did not obey, so my blessing went to another that day. He told me, "Go speak to that sin-blighted soul and tell him that Jesus can make his life whole." But I said, "Oh, I'd love to win that soul for thee, but I'm sure if I tried, he'd just scoff at me." So another was sent, and in heaven will shine in his crown the jewel that might have been mine. He asked me to speak against wrong in a crowd, but I cried, oh, I just can't say it aloud. So another one willingly and faithfully was found, who gave out the message with clear ringing sound. His the blessing, but mine all the loss and regret, and the feeling of shame I shall never forget. And then I cried, Lord, forgive me. I never again will fail to deliver thy message to men. Let them laugh, let them scorn. Still thy will I'll obey. I'll hasten to do thy work while it is day. And he answered, obedience is better to me than sacrifice, however great it may be. I want to take this to heart myself. I want to call myself and all of us to repent if we are beginning to backslide. Let's say with the psalmist, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. Am I ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus and his words, this wicked generation? Sometimes I find myself, this shame wants to creep in, you know. Just keep quiet, you know. Let's always pray, Lord, make me unashamed of you. Jesus said in Mark 8, he said, if you are ashamed of me, this wicked and adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you. Lord, help us.